All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Toonami Therapy on November 12th of 2020. I'm Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And we're here to talk about some of the anime and other things we've been watching, a few of which air on Toonami. So we've gotten, Sword Art Online is back, which is now, I think this is Sword Art Online Alicization War of Underworld. Is that all the subtitles? I feel like there might have been something else.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, this episode is called The War of Underworld, also known as How Do You Go From Actually Being Really Cool in the Previous Episode to Facepalming Nonsense? Because, Shinon comes in, and that's all kind of cool. Then Leafa enters and then gets in she gets attacked by a tentacle monster. And I mean, like, legitimately, it's not... How is it that the show Assassination Classroom, which has a tentacle, a perverted tentacle monster as a main character, is way more wholesome than this episode of Sword Art Online?
Yeah.
It was just extremely over the top.
Too much fan service.
And apparently I saw people say it wasn't written like that in the books. I mean, she got attacked by it, but it wasn't like described as if it was like any sexual thing. The focus was just on that she's getting her life drained and stuff. The anime made sure to very much play up, yes, these are tentacles. Oh, and look, it's making sure to grab her in specific anatomic positions.
that was unnecessary. I don't understand. But, you know, fan service is fan service. So, And unfortunately, it took away from the rest of the episode, which wasn't all that bad, you know?
Yeah, and even if you set aside the fan service thing, it's just kind of a dumb thing because she's basically just getting completely dominated by this thing and she's not fighting back because you're like, oh, I don't want to kill them. And I'm like, okay. Like, the whole scene was just kind of dumb. The other stuff was a little better. Maybe Klein is actually going to do something. Maybe. We'll see, but it at least made it look like he would.
Yeah.
Not getting my stuff up. Still, the tasteless fan service aside, which honestly, when you think it, I mean, it's not like it involved, like, you know, nudity or anything close to that. It just was something that you just look and you're thinking, what am I watching?
Yeah.
I will still take this over much of what we were getting through a lot before, where it was just downright boring.
Yeah.
It's often more... Just seeing that kind of nonsense is still better than seeing Kirito grow up in an alternate world.
Or seeing Kirito turn into... you know, this cell-shocked, emotionless cell of a person that he is now, you know?
Or honestly, maybe we can just say it's more interested in than seeing Kirito. And you don't need to even finish the sentence. All right. So we've got another series coming back, Fire Force, episode 25. Now, we didn't really see too much of the first Fire Force season, just a few episodes, but we're giving it another chance. So This season opens up with basically a action piece to try to, like, remind you who everyone is. Although I think that whole thing was just kind of filler stuff for the anime, but whatever, fair enough. It was kind of cool, and, you know, it got showed every one. Then the rest of the episode is basically this sort of like comedy bit about how all the squads have some have like the guys being some sort of nude calendar thing, and it's just mostly goofy comedy about that thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, because the episode was basically either kind of pure action or just comedy, there's not that much to say about it, but I thought some of it was funny.
Yeah, it has some funny moments to it. I'm just still struggling over remembering which character. Well, I don't know many of the characters' names, and that's my fault for not paying attention during the first season. I do know Shinra is the main character, I think. after that, I'm not really sure. So, yeah, but it's nice entertainment. So it was a pretty cool episode, I thought.
I do think it was kind of funny how at the start Shinra's saying something like, "Wow, it feels just like the events that took place recently didn't happen." And I'm like, "Well, that's convenient for me." okay. So, right, so then we got Assassination Classroom episode 10. So in this one, let's see. Okay, so in this one we have Irina, because like the person who trained her to be an assassin shows up and says that she's not really cut out for this kind of assassination where it isn't, you know, just completely covert, so she should stop. So Koro-sensei says, "Hey, why don't both of you try to do a mock killing of Karasuma to decide on that?" And she actually does manage to kind of pull it off, although part of it is just convincing him to let her do part of it. So that solves that. Then the other one is really just them, I don't know, I guess hanging out with Koro-sensei for a little while.
Yeah. Yeah, I see. What I took away from this episode was basically, okay, we know we can't kill Koro-sensei anymore, so now we have to move on to trying to kill one of the other characters, because the name of the show is Assassination Classroom. So we had enough stuff in the classroom. Now we need some more of the assassination stuff. And so they basically, you know, do that whole thing where they're trying to kill each other. And, well, not really. But, I thought it was pretty entertaining. But, I'm still waiting for some sort of big reveal, which I know is coming at some point because it just feels like it, but I don't know how long that's going to take.
Yeah. Well, I did kind of like the way Ritsu, the computer girl, is able to like display herself on their cell phones. That was kind of cool.
Uh-huh.
So let's see. Yeah. So on the whole, I thought it was, pretty entertaining. Although one weird thing is that now maybe they actually did mention it and I forgot, but the episode, cause you commented on this last time when we were talking about it, was like called L and R time. And then it's never mentioned in the episode.
Oh, yeah, I remembered that. It was, so it never came up?
Well, it's weird because I remember it, because I remember in the manga they mentioned it. Someone was saying something about how they were, I can't remember exactly how what the context was, but I remember sort of at the beginning, someone, Koro Sensei, said something. Oh, it's just like how people are, how in Japanese people get the V and W mixed up. I'm sorry, the V and B mixed up. How they get the R and L mixed up, and I can't even remember the full context of that. I was trying to look it up, but I'm having trouble finding the thing I wanted to look at. But so, and that was it, and that wasn't either, that wasn't mentioned in the anime or the or when they translated it, they didn't include that part. They like rendered that differently. Okay, so yeah, I think it was like just a short thing. I don't even know why it was named of that when you get down to it, even with that thing. Then I guess we do have, I mean, we watched some of it, so we might as well discuss that, like, Gemu Seto Death Beats show that, like, the new season of it premiered, which you didn't even watch the first episode of. Well, you didn't finish it.
Well, yeah, here's what happened. You know, we were like, I couldn't sleep, and you were up, so it was like, okay, let's just see this next show. And I literally dropped the show halfway through its first episode.
Yeah.
That's how bad it was.
I
was like...
I did decide to keep going and like finish it, and yeah, it was about the same as before. It was, well, like the part, it started out actually kind of funny where the guy's like just going, I died recently and it sucked, and I was like, oh, that's funny. And but then the rest of it,
yeah,
it was really wasn't, it just kind of was nonsense, and not even like, you know, particularly funny nonsense. I did look back out of curiosity and to see, well, what was the first season like? And I watched a little of the absolute first episode, and well, the animation was worse, but I was looking at like, I don't like it, but it's funnier. It like some like the jokes were a little better. So yeah, I didn't really care for it. Also, the first season, again, from what I saw, I didn't watch the whole first episode. I just watched some of it. I was like, yeah, this makes more sense to possibly be on Toonami, because there's more like anime parody stuff in it, at least, you know, a little more sort of action stuff. I mean, you know, it's like fairly simple animation, but I could see, okay, this makes a little more sense, whereas the second season didn't really seem to have that. Yeah, it wasn't as, I mean, we also didn't really watch much of Ballmasters, but I will say that was, I liked that show more, and it was a better fit, too.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay, and that's probably all we have to say, we'll have to say about it. We gave it a shot, didn't really care for it, feels a little out of place. I kind of feel like maybe they did it just because... My guess is that they weren't really expecting to have to take Black Clover off for a while because of the dubbing slowdown. And oh, by the way, they did say it will be returning at some point.
Now that's good to hear.
Well, except then we'll go right back into filler, so.
I'd rather have filler than what we got.
Okay. So. My guess is they just kind of did that as sort of a stopgap, so to speak.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, that was Gemu Seto episodes 7 and 8, for whatever that's worth. Okay. So that's our Toonami stuff. I guess we can move into our other stuff, including an ending of one of them. Tales of the Abyss, episode 26. So,
Are we done? Wait, hold on a second. So we save Tales of the Abyss to the end since it's the final episode of it?
I was thinking about that, but well, I don't know. I could do it here or later. Which would you want to do?
Yeah, I'd like to do it at the end because I have more to say about it. So
okay, all right.
I can do Yasuhime.
Okay.
Yeah, Yasuhime.
Actually, wait. Should we do Ghost in the Shell first to try to keep the rest of them in the regular order?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, Ghost in the Shell, episode 35. So, we basically, to put it through quick, so the Major gets into... I was a little confused what she did, but she got into something that has... that allowed her to speak with sort of a replica of Gota to try to figure out what he's on, like, what's up with him. And he indicates that he's basically trying to spur on the individual 11 to make them heroes and such. So I guess we know what he's up to now, assuming that wasn't a decoy or something. Meanwhile... the other characters basically are just trying to stop a series of bombings, and they manage to do it.
Yeah, that's a pretty quick way of describing it. But this episode had way too much of this political talk that it really felt to me like one of those classic author filibusters where the writers are trying to get across some sort of political point, and the episode pretty much serves as that, except for the fact that, like, all that politics went whoosh right over my head. So I didn't know what the hell they were talking about, and I was just like, okay, so politics. And okay, they stopped them, and that's what I took away from this episode. And it was like, okay, yeah, next time, why not? It's like, you know, like there are so many effective ways to get across a political point, and they all involve actually having like a episode that's so entertaining that you don't even realize that there's something that they're trying to make a point. This just felt, it was just not very fun to watch.
Well, I don't know if they were necessarily trying to make a point. I think it was more a matter of them trying to, It's a case where this does relate to, like, the plot in the world, and I get the feeling it's kind of one of those cases where the writers wrote it, and they understood it, but they mentally had information we don't, and thus it was more confusing for us. And the thing is, when I some of this stuff, especially when the Major and Gota are talking, I'm just kind of left thinking, okay, am I supposed to understand all of this? Am I? Because if I'm not, then that's totally fine. I'd be like, okay, they're saying some stuff that's a little above my level. That's fine. Or if I was, I didn't. But I got the important stuff out of it, though. But you're right. Some parts of it were kind of boring. I was a little surprised to see when Bato actually gets outright angry at Togusa over how that stuff with the girl who had the bomb, and how, you know, and Bato, like, just bursting and just, like, shoots her, and he's like, well, what were you, why did you do that? And he just, like, screams, like, he just, like, calls Togusa a dumbass, and then, like, it's like, and then explaining how the bomb, the trigger was in her mouth and stuff. And I was just like, oh, wow, that's – I don't think I've ever seen him scream at another – at one of his teammates like that before. So I don't know if that was a one-off thing or whether that might be a larger – or whether that might be a hint at him, like, getting more annoyed at people or something. But we'll see.
Yeah. Did you notice that Togusa and Kion – have the same voice actor in English?
You mean from Kion, from Haruhi?
Haruhi Suzumiya. Yeah.
No, I didn't. Yeah. I can't even remember what Kion sounds like offhand. I mean, I'm sure if he did the voice, I would recognize it, but I'm having a little trouble remembering it offhand.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same voice, okay. Actually. So,
just yeah. I remember he spoke usually spoke with a kind of flat affect.
Yeah.
Is affect the right word there? Flat aff, like, or is it effect? I don't know. It's so confusing because people say, oh, the difference between affect and effect. Well, affect with an A is a verb, and with the E, it's a noun. Except for the fact that effect with an E can in fact be a noun, and affect with an A, sorry, except they can both be nouns and verbs, except they mean different things when they do. Well,
sorry, broke up a little bit there. Oh, so,
well, you didn't miss anything other than me goofing up on the getting confused about meanings of words. The point is, he speaks stuff with a flat tone.
Okay,
so. All right, then, now, carry on to Yasuhime.
Mm-hmm. Yasuhime, well, this was one of those classic episodes where, just like in the original series, they meet someone who is like a normal person, then they get taken over by a demon, and then they have to defeat that person without killing them. That way they can turn back into their original selves. And that's pretty much all that happens in this episode, unfortunately. There's one point where Miyoga says something about Inuyasha. And Moroha says something like that she doesn't know what he's talking about. So that was an interesting line right there. I'm sure that wasn't on accident. So, so basically, everyone's still trying to figure out what happened to the original gang. You know, like we saw them in episode one. See, that confuses me because it's like, if we saw them in episode one, then we know they're still alive, but why don't they remember them? I don't know what's going on. I assume we'll find that out as we go along, but it's like the elephant in the room, so to speak. Like, everyone is thinking about them, and meanwhile, we're having these episodes with silly things like a village full of cats and you know, that kind of stuff. So I feel the series will be served better if we finally get an idea of what's going on and that's what I think.
Yeah, the big the big problem I had when I was looking at this was I was just thinking, I was just like, wait, how this episode, it seems like you could have just skipped over it entirely.
Yeah.
Also, another thing. So they've got her, I don't know if it was like an iPod thing or whatever. It was some sort of music player. I'm thinking, well, they're using a kind of, it seems vigorously, doesn't that thing have a limit of limited battery power and you can't really charge it up in the feudal era?
That is funny.
Unless did they get a wish like that guy in that series I never watched, but it's called In Another World with My Smartphone, where he gets reincarnated into this other world and he brings his smartphone and God makes it so that it'll never like lose power or something. I've never seen that show. I've heard it's bad.
Speaking of which, what about Subaru in ReZero. His cell phone. Remember, he had his cell phone in, and he had it for quite a while because remember he had it up to the point where the ringtone goes off and everyone knows that the whale is about to attack them. Remember that?
Yeah, but I'll give at least that a little more of a credit because it didn't seem like he was actually using it much at all in the meantime. So I could see its battery life lasting that long if he wasn't ever really using it. Here I was just noticing they're actively using it and listening to the stuff. And I'm like, that seems like something you should conserve. Because I think Subaru actually was conserving it to at least some extent. But, you're right. Just the fact it's not mentioning people. Because they even, like, when they're with Kagome's brother, and he, like, even thinks, she must be the daughter of Kagome and Inuyasha. And I'm like, well, why don't you ask her?
Yeah.
He never discusses it with her. It's just getting very annoying that it's not addressed in any way.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if she didn't make, like, maybe she just doesn't know for whatever reason, I'd be okay if he were to ask her, she says, I don't know, I could have, like, accepted, oh, maybe she got memory loss or she didn't know them or something like that, but the fact that just people aren't mentioning it is the problem.
Right, exactly. And it's okay if, you know, they want to, it's just like, you know, everyone, the audience knows that, you know, we want to see these, I don't know how to say it. The audience wants, I don't know how to get this point out.
Are you trying to
what
say
I'm trying
that
to say is that
are you trying to say that you think the audience wants to see the characters again and we're just wondering where they are?
Sort of like that, but it's like they know the audience wants to see the characters and they're kind of just like playing with us, like pretending that we, you know, just like kind of like toying with us, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because it's like everyone's waiting to find out about them, and obviously we aren't finding out anything. So, this is just very, just very confusing right now, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like, even if it's supposed to be some kind of mystery to the viewer, it's just weird that in-universe this stuff is not mentioned, especially in regards to, again, Kagome's brother not apparently ever bringing up the subject to her. Because, I mean, if I was thinking, oh, that's probably the daughter of my, sister. Maybe I should ask her how my sister has been doing. I mean, it seems like that would be a natural thing to ask, considering she hasn't seen her for years, presumably. Okay, so that's Yashahime. Kind of, I mean, an episode that didn't really do much at all, and is just still dragging out all these questions we've been wondering about.
Yeah, definitely.
So then we get Attack on Titan episode 57. Oh boy, there is a lot of information given in this episode, and I do not even know how I should summarize it.
I'm glad I don't have to do this one.
I honestly kind of almost felt like asking, was there anything that you needed explained to you? Anything you didn't that you were confused by?
Was there anything I didn't that I wasn't confused by? That would be the real question here. I felt completely if not for the fact that people were turning into Titans, I wouldn't have even known this was the same show.
Okay, I'll try to explain. The problem is some of this stuff is revealed in the next episode. So what we find out, and this does make a little... the problem is to completely understand what's going on here, you have to have actually paid attention during that really boring politics arc. So we find out that Aaron's, as we mentioned before, outside the wall. Well, okay, I won't really summarize the plot. I guess I should, I'll just say like what's revealed. And if you're somehow listening to, if you're someone who's been listening to this and you've just been skipping past the Attack on Titan stuff because you don't want to get spoiled, well, you'll have to skip past a few minutes here because I'm going to unload some pretty big stuff. Okay, so way back when, so there was like these race of humans called the Eldians who have the power to turn into Titans and such to some degree. And then we get contradictory information as to what was going on there with, you know, some of them like saying, oh, well, they used it to make the power of the Titans to make all sorts of great bridges and improve everything. And then the Marlians basically overthrew them and started treating them really poorly. But then, you know, the others like say, oh, no, the Eldians were repressing everyone until we rose up and we're just dealing with them. So that's why there's all that prejudice against the Eldians in what is seems to be a very thinly veiled metaphor for the treatment of Jews by the Nazis.
Yeah.
I told you that this would make you think more of Germany.
Yeah, I kept thinking that the whole time.
Okay, but then the king of them, they're like king, just decided, well, now see, in the middle of this important conflict, now seems like a good time to just waltz over to this island place and establish myself there instead, and built the walls, which is where those are the walls the series is, you know, known for and stuff. All the series up until this point has all taken place on that island, and what happened was that king, his will was so strong that each time his power went to someplace else, because that's how you can pass on the power of the Titans, where someone, you know, you inject them with the turn into a Titan thing, and then they eat the person who has that power, and then they gain that. Mm-hmm. That would, that like will just affected them, and therefore that's why they all kept, you know, keeping everyone behind the walls, even while all the roaming Titans on that island were around and stuff. So meanwhile, though, the guys are so Aaron's father, after his sister gets killed by one of the Marlian sort of military guys or whatever, you know, that gets him angry. So he ends up sort of joining this sort of resistance thing. He ends up with this woman, has a kid with her, Zeke. I can't remember if you remembered that the Beast Titan's name was Zeke. That was stated. So his son, his first son, you know, before Aaron, like, that's the Beast Titan.
Yeah.
He became that. I didn't know if you caught that. Right, so...
No, I didn't say that again.
Okay. He mentions his son's name. His son's name was Zeke. And what happened was he was like, okay, the Marlians are trying to get Eldians. That's like his sort of race, to try, you know, to be as warriors, because, you know, they can turn into Titans and stuff. And that's kind of powerful. So he decided to try to have his son, Zeke, join up with that to try to infiltrate them. But then Zeke turned on him and basically reported to, you know, them that his parents were dissidents, which is why they then, you know, got arrested and taken away. And that Zeke, he is that person who turns into the Beast Titan. That's him. We know that because his name was Zeke also, and even told Aaron something about how he was being fooled by his father.
I see.
Okay. So we got that. Then basically they're taken over to this place where we fought, where they're basically zapping, instead of simply killing them, they go through the expense of taking them all the way over to this island, injecting them with the thing, and then just dropping them off the wall to become mindless titans, just kind of wander around and stuff, I guess. You might not have noticed, but when you see the people being turned into titans, those titans are titans. A bunch of them are ones we've actually seen in the series.
Yeah, I thought I noticed some. Yeah.
Like the obvious one is when you find out that Aaron's father, his name is Grisha. Yeah, Grisha's like first wife. She actually was turned into that. The official name is a smiling titan, but I think we refer to it as a troll face titan. So irony there, I guess. Then it turns out that one of the guys who brought them there was actually secretly the one who was guiding Grisha and has like the power of the Titans himself, which is basically where the episode ends. Ooh. Okay. Did that make more sense?
Yeah, it did. I just don't understand that whole thing with the informant, that whole thing. Like, what was going on there?
Okay, so basically, the Marlians, like, their nation, what happened was, before the Eldians were in control, and then the Marlians, like, you know, kind of rose up and overthrew them, aided by the fact that the king just kind of decided, I'm just going to go off to this island that looks kind of like, that on the map looks kind of like Madagascar. Maybe it's Madagascar. Madagascar's great. They'll just, why don't I go there? They'll always close their ports whenever there's a illness going on. That's an obscure reference. It's a reference to this old game called Pandemic. There's just this joke about where you basically sort of, this sounds kind of weird in the current environment, but it was this flash game where you play as a virus and try to infect everyone. And the joke was that the only way to get to Madagascar is through, like, its airport, but Madagascar always closes its airports really early on in the game when the illness gets noticed. So if you don't get there right away, then you can't actually win the game.
Oh.
Actually, apparently, that old sort of game, because of COVID, it actually became super popular again. And people, like, started naming their, like, the disease, like, you know, like coronavirus or whatever. Okay. So, the problem with trying to make a joke like that is I then have to spend a minute to explain it. Okay, back to your original thing. I'm sorry. That was a bad tangent, even by my standards. So they were like that. So the Marlians are just keeping the Eldians sort of, kept in this sort of internment thing. But apparently at some point someone realized, hey, these guys have the power to turn into Titans. That seems like it could be really good in a war or something. So the idea was, that they wanted to recruit some of them to join their military so they can use the power of the Titans in that way. So Grisha took his son, Zeke, and was like thinking, hey, I'll have him go there, and then he'll be able to work to take get rid to beat them from the inside, and you can give me information and stuff. But then, but because Zeke was still kind of young at that point, he apparently changed his mind and basically told them, "Oh yeah, my parents are actually total dissidents to all of this stuff," which was then how which was how they got captured.
Okay.
Okay, anything else?
Nope, that's about it.
Okay. Personally, I actually really did like the episode. I liked, I mean, admittedly, this is partially because I was paying better attention to things, so it made more sense, but I liked the fact it gave all this information, and it managed to do so in a way that didn't feel just like a bunch of exposition.
Mm-hmm.
Although my description was kind of exposition, unfortunately. Okay, back, enough with Attack on Titan then. Let's move on to Tales of the Abyss, final episode, number 26. So, in this episode of Tales of the Abyss, the final one, so they fight Van and they manage to beat him in what, and I'm sure I've said this before, I'll say it again, I'm sure it was probably a more epic boss fight in the game. And then Luke does his thing that was necessary, which I'm going to be honest, I was just glancing over, because I looked at a synopsis of the game's plot, because I wanted to see, okay, how different was the ending? Like, was there some differences? And I'm just reading, and it says, the group defeats Van, who had sealed Lorelei inside his right arm, and kill him. As the area starts collapsing, Luke decides to stay behind to free Lorelei. Like, oh, that's what happened? Huh, okay. Because I knew they, all I really understood was, okay, he's staying there to do something to save the world. And I guess they, and everyone else leaves. And then Luke apparently is gone. But then 2 years later, he shows up, again. And, yeah, and that's basically the episode.
Yeah, and, It felt like such a convenient time for him to show up, you know, like they're just sitting there and all of a sudden, and everyone's there and all of a sudden it's like, hey, I'm coming back for the first time in 2 years. And like they never explain why it took 2 years for him to appear again. Like they never explained anything about like, why he was gone, what meant that, like what that meant. It was just kind of thing like, okay, Luke has to go away because he fights this fight and then he's going to come back someday. We just don't know when. And then he shows up 2 years later, but it's like, okay, why was he gone for all that time? And what was he doing all that time? And why is he all of a sudden back, you know?
Yeah, he looks a lot more like Ash, which I noted. I'm just like, I'm just wondering, did he just look more like him as he grew older? Did they somehow fuse together? Because we saw him with Ash's body. That was one of my main reactions at the end. It was just, that's it? You're not going to explain some of this stuff? Tell us what happens? I mean, like, you literally see Tyr say, well, to herself, that she loved Luke. And I'm like, okay, so does she ever tell him that? Does he return those feelings or anything? Why did you do that?
Yeah, this was, it felt like a very rushed ending and it really didn't sum up anything. And I kept on waiting for a post-credit scene, because I'm thinking, okay, there's going to be a post-credit scene and that's going to explain everything, and then all my questions will be solved. Nope, there's no post-credit scene, and you're just kind of left to think, well, Luke's back, but maybe he's ass, and maybe he is, I don't know. That was just a really rushed and confusing ending.
Yeah, it was, it really was, and I'm just wondering through so much of this stuff, it's just like, was this, like, the game, the plot of the game, well, at least what the synopsis on Wikipedia made it sound, you know, about the same general sequence of events, but I'm wondering, was it set up, like, was it explained better what was going on or anything? It just seems like a very, it felt like a very sudden ending.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's no resolution, there's no, you know, we don't get to find out. I mean, I guess they did say, like, Anis was saying, you know, like, well, I'm going to do this and stuff, and, but, you know, it just didn't feel right. It didn't feel like we got a proper ending, and I don't know why it, why it's like this. I mean, they had a full 26 episodes, so they surely could have cut out something else to help us have a better ending, you know?
Yeah, and that's, like, the thing. Like, and also, we have no idea why Tyr turns into that woman in the theme song. I was sure that was going to be, like, a big twist here, and nothing.
Yeah, I was thinking, okay, that's going to be the final episode. That's going to be what we see. Nope, we never find out the entire series what that was about. That is really frustrating.
Yeah, next time I get to talk to my brother, which might not necessarily be for a while, unfortunately, I really want to ask him whether this stuff was better, like, wrapped up in the game. Well, I mean, obviously there's not a matter of, like, the theme song, but just whether this ending stuff makes more, like, is better handled. Because it really does, it just felt very sudden without enough of a wrap-up for things.
Yeah.
Actually, one, the ending where, you know, he's gone and then he just shows up again, that is one of the possible endings for Fire Emblem Awakening, has that basically happen to the main character, but I feel it made a bit more sense there. Okay, I know we kind of were in the middle of something there, but unfortunately, some stuff happened that forced us to essentially stop the podcast right away. So, unfortunately, that's what we'll have to be leaving off on. I'm recording this later on after the fact. So, maybe we'll have a little more, we'll conclude and say a little more about Tales of the Abyss next time. But until then, you can find our previous episodes at tsunamitherapy.podbean.com. And we'll be there next week. Although Tommy's not here to do the customary sort of buy-me thing at the end. In case you've been wondering about that and don't recognize it, it's a reference to Lucky Star. So without that usual ending, I'll just say, see you next time.